Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Wrestle Chat's second part of our WrestleMania review. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studio right here in New York, where apparently the lights are flickering for some reason. Let's hope that we don't lose any power here, or we don't go into total darkness and lose our review. Anyway, part two of WrestleMania. Where do we begin, folks? I guess we'll begin where the WWE began. The WWE, apparently in their infinite wisdom, decided that the best thing to do with part two of WrestleMania, night two of WrestleMania, is to lead it off with The Fiend versus Randy Orton and totally piss the crowd off. Yeah, you know, I almost thought this was done on April 1st because I'm saying to myself, this has to be a practical. This literally has to be a practical joke. You have built up a feud where Randy Orton literally has to say, I will go to whatever depths I have to go to, because obviously burning a man alive is not enough to stop the Fiend. So I will have to dig deeper down in. I will have to go to depths I've never gone to before. Alexa Bliss is on TV saying Randy Orton's going to die. And the result is a half-assed normal match done in red lighting where Randy Orton simply RKOs the Fiend for a three count, thanks to Alexa Bliss distracting the Fiend. Fans audibly booed. The whole building was encased in boos. WWE didn't see that coming, huh? Now, if you want to try to make excuses for him, let me put on my devil's advocate hat here and try to make some excuses. I understand there's more to the story. I get it. We're doing something, apparently, where Alexa Bliss now has total and complete control of the Fiend because she's the one who rejuvenated. So now she's become the empowered person. Because God forbid a woman not be empowered. This is more political correct nonsense. I promise you it is. God forbid they have a woman in peril that has to be saved. That can't be. Has to be the woman who's in charge. So they've reversed the tables here, and it's not Bray Wyatt who has somehow possessed Alexa Bliss and is holding her somewhat against her will as his prisoner. No, it's not that anymore. It's Alexa Bliss who is the evil entity, and she has complete control of the Fiend, who just wants to be a nice guy, apparently. But he can't because he's controlled by Alexa Bliss, which is kind of funny because before Alexa Bliss, he certainly was still the Fiend. Now, that could be one solution, and that's probably the actual solution. Second solution is something we've suggested here, but I doubt very greatly it's it. And the second solution is it's not really the Fiend. He's recalled something else. Now, we could say, see, he looks a little different. Not the exact same Fiend that we remember. But to be perfectly honest, I doubt it, because the person we saw in the ring last night, I think undoubtedly was Bray Wyatt. From the way he stood to some of the things that he did, some of the mannerisms, even doing a little salute to Luke Harper. I don't know if you noticed that. So I think undoubtedly it's Bray Wyatt. So I think it's probably the first one. But regardless to what it is, he can't lose in that spot. Cannot lose in that spot. Now, you could definitely have him beat Randy Orton and then go to do something horrific to him, and Alexa Bliss breaks it up, stops it by summoning him. You could have had that happen. Because, you see, at first, the fans were won over When Alexa Bliss rose out of that box, fans were chanting, holy shit. Then when they realized what it was going to lead to, they just booed. It did not set a very good tone for the beginning of WrestleMania. And I am willing to give this a small window for them to justify why you would build this up and have the Fiend lose. I'm willing to give them a week or two to play out this story in a way that I say, ah, I get it. But I don't see it. Because irregardless to how I slice this, this is not a good thing. Let's just say she does possess him. Why would she want him to lose to Randy Orton? Makes no sense. Let's just say it's really not the Fiend. It's a substitute Fiend, and we're going to have Fiend versus Fiend. Why would that Fiend lose already? Wouldn't you want to make that Fiend look just as powerful? So either way you cut this, makes no sense. Unless she goes with Randy Orton, which makes even littler sense, because what the hell would that have to do with anything? So why Alexa Bliss would intentionally distract the Fiend to cause a loss is beyond me. It's just beyond me. And why you thought this was a good way to open WrestleMania when you had to know fans were going to boo this out of the building is also beyond me. I just don't get it. After this was over, I racked my brain and said, why would they do it? There has to be a solution. And these are the only two I can come up with, folks. Either Alexa Bliss is going to be the evil entity and the Fiend is going to be the helpless victim who we're rooting for, which is dumb. Because he sure wasn't no helpless victim before Alexa Bliss showed up. Or it's a fake Fiend and we're going to have Fiend versus Fiend, which still doesn't work because this Fiend has already lost. Doesn't make him look extremely tough, does it? So I have no idea where this is going. None whatsoever. I know you wasted a really good feud and a really good storyline, and now I think even fans who are into these supernatural storylines have said, I've had enough of this. So I think what they really have managed to do in their effort to swerve fans or make a more complex storyline or something is a lot of fans have bailed. You've kind of jumped the shark on the Fiend now and probably lost a lot of fans as far as the Fiend angle and the whole Fiend thing goes last night, Mike. I just don't get that.
I don't get it either. Even though I did like, you know, at the end of the whole thing, they did a very good job with her makeup. You know, with that, when they painted her face, they did a very good job with that. But other than that, no. If they were, I've been speculating we're going to do Fiend versus Fiend, but again, if that's Bray Wyatt, why would you have him lose? And if it was another guy playing the Fiend, why would you have him lose? You know,
that's my point. You'd have them win. I don't have any excuse for this loss. And you're right, they did an excellent job of the burnt Fiend walking through that tunnel and transforming into the normal Fiend. Very good. The big Jack in the Box, very good, even though Michael Cole just said it seems to be some sort of giant box-like structure. It has a handle, Michael Cole. It has a wind-up handle. It's a Jack in the Box. God almighty. All of that was good. The Fiend's new outfit, good. Everybody was happy. All the fans were really solidly behind this until they pulled that, and as soon as they pulled that, well, let's see if we can recreate the moment where the Fiend got pinned.
Boo!
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't know, Todd. It seemed really, really odd to have the Fiend lose regardless.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, they brought the regular Fiend back, then lose on the first night back. I remember back in 1994, when Vince McMahon decided to bring back The Undertaker, they had Brian Lee build him up, Then you have the real Undertaker to come back at SummerSlam. It was better back then. You had Undertaker versus
Had Brian Lee lose either. So if that's what they're trying to do, if they're trying to build up a Fiend versus Fiend, which I doubt, but if that's what they're trying to do, then you don't have that Fiend lose. It's just, it's mind-boggling. I have no idea what they did. I know it was a colossal mistake. Regardless of what the storyline is going to be, colossal mistake. We then get to Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending the belts against Natalya and Tamina. And much to my surprise, the fans are really trying to get behind Tamina because they know she's been around forever and has zero good angles, zero. So they figure, hey, this might be it. You know, a tag team with Tamina and Natty could be it. We could invest in that. So, of course, they lose. Of course they lose. Because Nia Jax is so agile, she can get out of the way of the splash. Night two is not off to a good start. Just not off to a good start. Now, I've heard so many people online say both nights were just excellent. I really was invested in both nights. Well, there were some excellent spots. We'll get to them. But I'm sorry. Night one was not excellent, and night two was not excellent. Neither night was excellent. There were excellent moments. But overall, as a WrestleMania, it was not excellent. If this is the normal card of wrestling, you might say it was excellent. This is WrestleMania. And I think that, you know, every match has to be above average. The Fiend match was, at best, lame, with a horrible ending. So that's certainly not above average. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler taking on Tamina and Natalya. Fair at best, with another lousy ending that the fans did not want. So no, that's not excellent. I was a little surprised, Mike, that they kept Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax champion. Obviously, they have no faith in Nia Jax doing solo matches.
Right. And that's the thing. And also, this doesn't spell anything for Shayna's career, you know, as a singles wrestler. She should absolutely be a singles wrestler, and she should probably be the top heel. But not in the WWE's mind. And as far as you're right about Tamina. I mean, Tamina's been there for a lot of people. I think people want to get behind her. And to tell you the truth, Natty had the sharpshooter on her. She had it. She let it go. She should have won the match right then and there. She didn't need to have Tamina come in, right?
Yeah, it was sort of illogical. The whole thing was sort of illogical. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't too invested in this match anyway, but I certainly thought this would be the lead-up of Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax fighting each other and getting some tag team champions that we felt were more of a team than them. They've almost dropped this, Shayna and Nia not getting along. So I don't know, Todd. I didn't think this was a very good match, and again, I thought the ending was not really what the fans wanted.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was not a great match, but the fans were definitely behind Tamina and Natalya last night, but it's not the way I wanted the match how it ended either. And you know, they should promise the fans, give the fans what they want in that match.
Yeah, and I think it all boils down to they have no confidence in Nia Jax in any solo matches, so they just like her as a tag team, and they can't find anybody else to put with her. So I know Vince isn't too high on Shayna Baszler either for whatever reason, so I guess that's it. So we move on to Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn, which I was very, 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 very much looking forward to. These are guys who have fought each other, I don't know, 1,000 times. And out of 1,000 times, they've probably put on 900 of those times. It was excellent, excellent, excellent match. This one was just good. It was a good match, but there was just, it lacked It lacked an intensity that I really thought they were going to bring. I really did. It was good from a technical standpoint. It had some really good moments and some really good spots. But again, there were some illogical things. Sami Zayn catches him with a halluva kick, and 2 seconds later, he's recovered. I don't understand how that works. Sami Zayn wanted a second one. And then this whole Logan Paul thing. Okay, Logan Paul is at ringside as Sami Zayn's guest. And okay, Logan Paul gets in the ring afterwards to see if Sami Zayn is all right. What's wrong with that? Sami Zayn was the one who invited him. But ultimately, he goes over and congratulates Kevin Owens on a good match and raises his hand, and that merits a stunner why. What did Logan Paul do? Not that I love Logan Paul getting stunned, but give me the reason. What did he do? Did he interfere in the match? Did he say something disparaging about Kevin Owens? Did he show solidarity really with Sami Zayn? Not really. So I'm not really sure why he got stunned. What was his discretion that he got stunned? Nothing. So it wasn't as satisfying as it could have been if he said some things. I mean, if you were going to do this anyway, if your goal was Logan Paul shows up at WrestleMania, Sami Zayn gets beat, he gets in the ring, and then Kevin Owens stuns him, at least you're going to have Logan Paul side with Sami Zayn. And not say, I don't know, man, Kevin Owens says there's nothing there, and I don't know. Maybe he's right, because then it looks like he's siding with Kevin Owens, so why would Kevin Owens stun him? Now, if Logan Paul had said, you're absolutely correct, Sammy, it looks like there's a big conspiracy, and apparently your chubby friend here is a part of it because he doesn't want to buy into it, I get it. So what happened at all? So this is a good match. And by other people's standards, it was probably a very, very good match. But by Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn standards, much like I said about AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura and their match, if any two other people had that match, you'd say that's a very good match. But knowing what they can do when they wrestle each other, I just thought this was, let's just go in there and status quo. So, while I thought it was good, Mike, I wasn't super thrilled by it like I thought it was going to be.
Right. The ending was illogical because, okay, if anything should have happened, it should have been the other way around. He goes over to raise Kevin Owens' hands. He raises his hand, and Sammy comes in and Haluba kicks him. Saying,
right.
Well, why are you doing this? Why are you raising this guy's hand? I thought you were my guy, you know?
The reason they wouldn't do that, though, Mike, is because then they were afraid Sami Zayn might get cheered because for some reason Logan Paul being there annoyed people. So they figured it would be KO and he'd get the big pop, which he did get a big pop. But then at least give us a reason. Why couldn't Logan Paul get in the ring and act like he was upset that Kevin Owens won or yell at the referee that Kevin Owens cheated or something to make it look like Kevin Owens was justified. I just don't get it. Sheamus versus Matt Riddle. Thankfully, Sheamus wins this match. This was a good match, except Sheamus blew the white noise off the ropes, didn't he? And I guess he busted open Matt Riddle but that was a very complex move. I'll tell you, I'll give him credit for trying that. I'll give him credit for coming up with it, and I'll give him credit for trying it, because that's a very tricky move. If you're going to try to brogue kick somebody who's in mid-flip, in mid-air, that's a real tricky move. And I'll give Riddle credit for taking the move. I mean, that's a tough one. And when you're planning out your match, that's an accident waiting to happen. That's getting your teeth kicked in or your jaw broke or your nose broke or your neck hurt waiting to happen. So I'll give him credit for it. It was a good match. The right person won. And I think, What was your thoughts on the crowd reaction, Mike? I thought the crowd was kind of 50-50-ish.
Yeah, I guess the crowd was 50-50. You know, and it didn't make sense. I thought they would cheer Sheamus more. But here's something else to think about. They're gonna when Sheamus does decide to go, the WWE is gonna miss him terribly.
Yeah, no question. I mean, this is a guy who really does give 100% every time he goes out there. And he takes it real serious. I mean, he's a hard-hitting guy. He's one of these guys that, you know, for years wrestlers have said, if you're going to go in the ring with Sheamus, expect that it's going to be a rough night, because he doesn't pity-pat you, you know. He hits you pretty good. He works very stiff, and that's just the way Sheamus is. Well, that's great. It's the way all wrestling should be, in my opinion. So, yeah, they are going to miss him. I hope he has a decent reign. All I can say is I'm looking forward to seeing what the crowd reaction is to him maybe tonight, Todd, to see if he gets a better reaction.
You're absolutely right there, like you said, about the Sheamus winning the U.S. belt. And at least the right guy won. At least they gave it to the right person. It was just not working for me when Riddle had the U.S. belt. It was just not working for me.
Oh, no, me neither. Me neither. I think Riddle, they thought, was going to go over a lot bigger than he did. Anyway, we get to Apollo Crews and Big E in a Nigerian drum match. Now, people were saying that right up until literally the day before, the couple days before WrestleMania, even the WWE didn't know what a Nigerian drum match was going to be. They came up with the name, but they had no idea what it was going to be. Well, what it turns out being, really sort of embarrassingly, is a match where there's a whole bunch of drums around the ring and cymbal, a gong, and it's really just a hardcore match where there's no rules, except that there's all kinds of drums and drum paraphernalia around the ring. Oh, and there's some kendo sticks. Now, I love when Big E does the spear through the ropes. I just think that's a great move. For a guy his size and the way that looks, I just think that's devastating. I always, always loved that move from the minute he did it. Still love that move. He's a master of it. He's never flubbed it that I know. And it always looks like it hurts you. Always looks like it hurts you. So I'm really good with that. And I think Big E is a bit underrated as a wrestler. I think he has a lot of good emotions and facial expressions and things. Again, though, this match, watching guys walk around with a cymbal or throwing somebody into a bongo drum, for lack of a better word, was not thrilling. I think they could have thought this out better, put it that way. And then at the end, who should show up? But one of the, well, it really isn't one of the soldiers, because this is a totally different guy. You'll know who it is. It's the guy from Raw Underground, Dabakato, who we speculated might show up at WrestleMania to help Shane. But instead he showed up at WrestleMania to help Apollo Crews. And he's going to be called Commander something. I forget what they said he was going to be called, Commander something. And I guess he's going to be a regular part of the entourage of Apollo Crews now, which is good. Oh, wow, he finishes Big E off with just one choke slam, huh? Wow. So I guess he's going to be a big deal. Problem is, he looks exactly the same as he did on Raw Underground when he was Dabakato. So everybody knows, and it's very, very difficult for us to forget, that he got the hell beat out of him by Braun Strowman. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe this is a good thing. Maybe it isn't. We'll see where it goes. I would have much rather it just was the two soldiers that they had. I would have much rather that been. Introducing a new character that we know is an old character, we'll see if it works. We'll see. I was just hoping it was the original two, Mike. I think that probably would have been better overall.
Right. It's almost like they're trying to start over with this guy. You know, give him a new character. even though they didn't change his look, give him a new name, give him a new character, you know, Commander, whatever his name is. Now, he is a big guy, and it fits because, you know, he's 6'9", you know, 300-something pounds, you know. So he is a big guy. So, you look at him next to Apollo Crews, and Apollo Crews is not a small man. He's, what, 240-ish, you know?
Yep.
But this guy is 6'9", 350, I guess, maybe something like that. I don't know what he is, but he's a big dude. So, yeah, my only thing is just bring back the other two guys. If you're going to have an entourage, it can't just be one guy. It's got to be more than that.
Yeah, otherwise it's just AJ Styles and Omos, right? Reworked. Yeah. I don't know, Todd. I mean, I'm not disputing who won. Apollo Crews, that's fine. And I'm not even disputing him getting help. I'm just saying that this Nigerian drum match was a little weird.
Well, you're absolutely right. Like you said, with that giant drum match, whatever you call it. It was just, like, weird to me, too. Like you said, I would bring have Apollo Crews' entourage, have him bring back those two soldiers, and you have, like, a three-man team, you know?
It's possible. It's possible they will. If they do, good for them. We then get on to Rhea Ripley versus Asuka. Now, it's no secret if you listen to this show that I'm a musician, and I'm a rock musician. And it's no secret that I've ranked on a couple of people that have played at WrestleMania, such as Bad Bunny when he did the Booker T song. I said, I don't know. I just think it's horrible. I don't know. I don't know how that's extreme talent. It just seemed like a guy yelling stuff into a microphone. I got to tell you, I'm sure the musicians are fine. Just a girl screaming at the top of her lungs, this is my brutality. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if you like that, fine. I don't. I love heavy metal, too. I don't like that. I don't know what the hell that is. Just a girl screaming over top of music. So if I'm going to take on rap of some guy just talking over top of a beat, then I have to say, if you're just going to scream over top of music, a little singing would be nice. Doesn't sound anything like the... Like the album cut, obviously. Rhea Ripley seemed to like it. Now here's the deal. Rhea Ripley's a very talented athlete. And I know that everybody was enamored with her when they in NXT. And what I'm about to say may bite me in the ass because she might get better. But I don't see a lot of charisma in her. She's very stone-faced. She's methodically slow. And I don't think she's got enough experience to tell a really good story in the ring, even with someone as talented as Asuka. And again, I don't think it happened. They had a good match. Again, I'm saying good match, but these should be great matches. There's no excuse for these not to be great matches. And what's from a technical standpoint, you say, well, they didn't do anything wrong. It was a great match. Okay, but the story is not there. There was no times when I'm almost jumping out of my seat or I can't believe this. There was none of that. It just looked like a match you'd have on Raw or SmackDown. And a lot of that was Rhea Ripley's fault because she's deadly slow and she doesn't sell well. And I think it was the ultimate insult, by the way, that after everything that Asuka was supposedly put Rhea Ripley through, when Asuka's doing her kicks, Rhea Ripley just kind of pops up and says, come on, kick me again, and then just finishes her off like she's garbage. Okay, so you're making Rhea Ripley invincible? What's Rhea Ripley? The Fiend isn't invincible. Rhea Ripley is. I don't think she's going to take off as big as you think. A heel, it's so very important that a heel can use a mic. And I don't think she's good at it at all. She's not terrible, but she doesn't have that next level whatever that really distinguishes people. And if she's going to be a heel, she's got to be able to do that. I don't see her being able to do it. I knew Asuka was going to lose, but I thought we were going to have a much more, what's the right word for it? Psychological match. I thought we were going to get to this point where it would be really exciting and we'd say, oh, maybe she's not going to, I don't know what's going to happen. And no, through the whole match, it was kind of like, yeah, Asuka's getting in her shots now, but Rhea Ripley's going to win. And that's what happened. So to me, this was just a plain average match. And I, you know, talk about throwing Asuka to the wolves, huh? I mean, what was her title reign for, Mike? Not much.
Not much. And furthermore, they ruined, I mean, I guess they could correct it later, but they ruined the money match. You know, the money match was not this match or any match with Rhea Ripley in it. We've talked about what the money match is, and this wasn't it. You know, now could a money match be Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley? I don't know, but we know what the real money match is, and they sort of, at least for the time being, ruined it.
Listen, I agree with you. Okay, you want Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley, I'm good with that. But the real money is you keep Asuka the champion until Becky Lynch comes back. Because Becky Lynch was the one who handed Asuka the belt. And the story you could get from that, no matter which way you want to go, either Asuka's delighted to give her a shot and said, absolutely, you're the first one to get a shot. You're the one who handed me the belt. I owe you that. Fine. Or you could turn Asuka and have Asuka say, no, 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 no. You get in line like everybody else and because she's afraid of her. You could tell that story too. Whichever story you wanted to tell, that's the money match. There's not going to be a money match with Rhea Ripley because she can't sell a money match. See, that's the problem. And when she gets in the ring, for all of her athletic gifts, and she's very good athletically, she hasn't yet got the experience to string it together into a cohesive story that's really psychological and tells a tale that the fans are really captivated by. It's just a series of moves. There's a lot of people who can do a series of moves and get them all right and do it well and be lauded as a good athlete. There's less people who know psychologically when to do them, how to do them, why to do them, to really get the maximum amount of benefit so the crowd really gets into it. She's not there yet. People are going to get mad at me because there's a lot of Rhea Ripley fans, but she's not there yet. Giving her the championship is fine, but I think you lost your money match on this. I really do, unless they know something we don't know and Becky Lynch isn't coming back for a while. What did you think of the match, Todd?
Well, the match was okay, but the only one problem, they had Rhea Ripley to win the belt, right, the women's title right away. First night on the main roster, second year as on WrestleMania, they gave her a belt, just like that.
I mean, I knew she was going to win, but there was something in the back of my head that said, well, maybe we're going to get something here. Maybe we're going to get a disqualification, and then Charlotte Flair's been cleared. Maybe she's going to run in to try to help her former tag team partner if Rhea Ripley's trying to do something to her after the bell. I don't know. I thought we were going to get something. Because I didn't think they'd really ruin the money match, which I think is Becky Lynch and Asuka, unless they know Becky Lynch isn't coming back for a considerable length of time. Can't see, but maybe. Well, we get Hulk Hogan. I don't know if everybody caught this, but they tried in a very funny vein to make fun of Hulk Hogan's insult to the black community. He called everybody, I can't even remember what he called them, some kind of pirate terminology, to which Titus says, you can't call people that. And Hogan said, all right, I'm sorry. That was their effort at a little bit of comedy and to try to make levity of the situation. Whether it worked or not, I don't know. Bailey just interrupting everybody on both nights of WrestleMania does not work. By the way, Bailey looks like a librarian. I don't know what the hell Bailey's trying to go for look wise. It ain't working. And the Bella Twins come out and they're probably booed. That'll tell you something. The Bella Twins come out and are promptly booed, but they beat the hell out of Bailey, who got in a really good line, by the way, and said, I don't know what you're doing here because John Cena's not here tonight. That was a good line, which caused them to beat her up. At least Bailey got a WrestleMania moment, so like I'm not going to disparage this too much, but, I mean, this is just a cheap pop for, I guess it was done for Bailey's benefit, I guess, but it's the only one it sold was the Bella Twins. So I'm not sure, not sure how to take that, Mike, but I did think it was funny that they tried to throw in that joke with Titus and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, whatever. And you're right. I mean, yeah, it would make sense if Brie was there because Daniel's there, right? But Daniel's a face. So, I mean, I get. I mean, they're retired, okay, and they don't have any want to come back, I guess. So
no,
and I guess,
going to.
I mean, aren't they both pregnant, or were they? Weren't they both pregnant? I don't know. I'm not getting into that, but I mean, yeah. If this was simply a way. To one, make fun of Hulk Hogan, okay, whatever, or two, take a first step in turning Bailey face. Hey, if this is the first step in that, I'm fine. I'm fine with that.
Well, it's neither one. I mean, number one, I think they just wanted to make some levity with the Hulk Hogan thing and say, we addressed it. So they can't say they didn't address it, sort of. Number two, the Bellas said they want to come back. They've had their children, and they're both saying they want to make a comeback. And they were both there because they were inducted into the Hall of Fame. So I guess they're around for WrestleMania weekend or whatever it was. Still in all, they got booed, which basically means that the fans had enough of them. You wouldn't think you'd boo somebody who went in the Hall of Fame a couple nights ago, but I think the fans are just like, we've had enough. And I think here's what I think is happening, which is weird. Because Bailey has been so misused, I think the fans are starting to get on her side a little bit. I think the fans are starting to say, you know what? Bailey did everything you ask of her. She tried to be a heel. God bless her. She might not have been the best one, but now she's just being made a fool of. She's not even in WrestleMania hardly, except for this little skit. And I think fans are starting to side with her a little bit and say, we want back the old Bailey. Or at least the Bailey that matters. So we'll see. So up to this point, I'm saying WrestleMania part two has been a little bit of a disappointment to me. Good matches, but not great matches. And then we get the main event. And I feel justified, and I'll tell you why. I told everyone, adding Daniel Bryan to this match is going to matter. Adding Daniel Bryan to this match is going to make this match special. And if you remove Daniel Bryan from that match last night, you see what you would have gotten. Edge had lots of time to rest on the outside of the ring. Edge had lots of time to catch his breath and stay at a slow pace. You see the pace that Roman Reigns wrestles at. It's moderately slow. And Edge at his age is also moderately slow, and with his injuries, not just his age. Daniel Bryan, even though he's a bit older than Roman Reigns, he still is very fast-paced, and he creates a lot of the motion. And that's what he did. He created motion around both of those guys and created so much more excitement over who was going to win and really gave us, I think, the WrestleMania moment of the night where – Edge has Roman Reigns locked in a submission hold, and Daniel Bryan grabs the other arm, and Edge is yelling at him, let go. And Daniel Bryan's, I know you let go. And there's absolutely no way for the referee to call this match, because who could you possibly call it for? So Roman Reigns is caught in the middle, basically wanting to give up, but he can't give up. Even if he's given up, it's not going to end the match because the referee can't call the match. And they're headbutting each other, trying to get each other off. I thought that was the WrestleMania moment of both nights. Very well planned, very well orchestrated. And truthfully, I think this was the match of WrestleMania. Both nights. I still think this was the best match. Everybody hit their spots beautifully. Everybody did what was expected of them. There were moments in that match when I truly and honestly thought Edge was going to win. There were moments in that match where I truly and honestly thought Daniel Bryan was going to win. And there were moments when I thought Roman Reigns was going to win. They had me on this match because I literally did not know who was going to win. They booked this well enough so any one of these guys was a legitimate choice. Now, Edge was my underdog. I didn't think he was going to win. I gave him very little chance. But Daniel Bryan, I gave a pretty good chance. And I'm saying to myself, well, they took Jey Uso out early. So if they took Jey Uso out early, either Jimmy Uso's around, or that's going to factor in that Roman is not going to win because he doesn't have somebody to interfere for him. So they threw me off with that too. That's good booking. Very good booking. And I think even the end, where Roman Reigns gives the concerto to Edge after the spear and literally drags him over to Daniel Bryan in that pompous way, saying, I'm going to pin both of you, makes Roman Reigns walk out of there looking like a super heel. And to his credit, because he almost tapped out to Edge and he almost tapped out to Daniel Bryan, and both, he technically should not have won the match a dozen times. He has actually made both of these other guys look good, better in the loss. And sometimes that's what you want. You want the guy to win, but the guy who lost doesn't really get hurt by it. As a matter of fact, he's almost elevated to say, well, he really won. And you could say that about Edge. And you could say that about Daniel Bryan. They technically should have won, but things happened. I just thought it was a very, very well-booked match and very well executed. Everybody did their part beautifully. This, in my opinion, Mike, was a WrestleMania quality match. This was one of those matches that I say, yes, that is a WrestleMania main event.
Right. And yes, that is a WrestleMania main event. And look, it wouldn't have been overbooking if after Jay gets taken out, I mean, they made a big deal. He's injured, all this stuff. After Jay gets taken out, it wouldn't have been overbooking if Jimmy showed up. Now Jimmy didn't show up, but it wouldn't have been overbooking in my mind if he did show up, because one, you didn't expect it, and two, Jay's hurt, right?
Yeah, I really did expect, once Jay got taken out and things, I said, if Roman wins this match, which I still wasn't sure he was going to, but I said, if Roman's going to win this, Jimmy Uso's showing up. So I was waiting for that. It didn't happen. Jay came back and saved the day, but I still think, I guess they're saving it for something else, I still think they made the right move. I still think this was the match of the entire both nights of WrestleMania. And I still think all three of us were correct when we said you have to add Daniel Bryan to this match. If you remove Daniel Bryan from this match, what you would have had was two guys with a much slower paced style, one just by nature, because that's the kind of wrestler he is in Roman Reigns, and the other because he's getting older and he's got a lot of injuries. Adding Daniel Bryan allowed each one of them to rest a bit when they weren't in the action. It allowed Edge to be a little slower paced and still have the motion created around him by Daniel Bryan. Same thing with Roman Reigns. Go back and watch that match. How many times did Roman Reigns throw Daniel Bryan over the table and then slowly get out of the ring, slowly walk around, Edge the same way, let me go look for a chair, and while I'm slowly walking around, I'm catching my breath. All of this stuff was made more acceptable because you had a fast-paced guy in the ring doing some things as well. It didn't make the match look plodding or slow in any way. because you had those fast-paced moments, mostly supplied by Daniel Bryan. So, yeah, I mean, if you took him out of the match, you wouldn't have had your WrestleMania moment where they both locked Roman Reigns in the submission hold, which I thought was great. You wouldn't have had the great moment where Roman Reigns drags Edge over and drapes him over Daniel Bryan's body in just a show of total arrogance. There was a lot here that was helped by the presence of Daniel Bryan. A lot. So I think we were right, Todd. Adding Daniel Bryan to this match made a huge difference in it.
Well, you're absolutely right. Like you said, it was smart of the WWE put Daniel Bryan in that match for that Universal title in a triple threat match. You know, it made the match more interesting, more better than Edge and Roman Reigns there, and it just make it better for some reason.
Well, it also allowed him to go longer because, again, each one of those guys could roll out of the ring, I'm hurt, and then the other two guys take over for a minute, and there you go. While the other guy's resting, these guys are taking over, and vice versa. Three-man match can go longer, so they were able to go. I don't know, how long did that match go? 15 minutes? 20 maybe? And it was very good. So they ended WrestleMania with a bang, with the best match of the night, no question. And probably the best match of all of WrestleMania. So what do you give a WrestleMania like this? Well, here's my only issue. It's not going to be popular to try to be hard-assed about it and say, well, the matches were good but not great, even though that's true. Fans are going to go by emotion. It was the first WrestleMania with fans back. Their presence made a gigantic difference. Gigantic difference. The booking was sometimes head-scratching. I have no idea why The Fiend loses. I have no idea why you break up the Hurt Business if you're just going to give Bobby Lashley the match anyway. But overall, there was no colossal errors except, in my mind, The Fiend losing. I think that's a colossal error no matter what you do. Aside from that, there were no colossal errors, and there were no real horrible matches that you say that was just flat out horrible. Some were just passable. Some were good. Some were quite good. There wasn't many that were just like, wow, was that outstanding? I'd love to watch that match again. I'm okay with Asuka and Rhea Ripley. I don't want to watch the match again. I'm okay with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. It was a good match. I don't want to watch the match again. It's not a match I'd put on again. Same way with Sheamus and Riddle. Same way with Apollo Crews and Big E. Same way with Lashley and Drew McIntyre. They're not matches I'd put on again. I would put on the main event of Night 2 again. I would rewatch that match. And that's the litmus test I go by. Out of the entire WrestleMania, there's probably just that one match that I would watch again. So they had one really excellent match and a lot of good to very good matches. And maybe one or two that was just fair. So I'm going to give this a B-. And it probably would have been a C had it not just been for the fact that it's so good to see the fans back. It's so good to see the wrestlers be energized by the fans being back. I mean, you could visibly see it. Visibly see it. Do you honestly think in a million years Bianca Belair would have gotten in that ring and cried if there weren't real fans there? If everybody was on a TV screen? It still would have been a WrestleMania moment, but she wouldn't have done it. It was that emotion of the fans and looking out in the audience and seeing her parents there and seeing the fans cheering her, and it was just, it overwhelmed her. It wouldn't have happened with TV screens. So the fans played an important part. The fans also spoke their mind, didn't they? They booed the Bella Twins when I'm sure the WWE didn't think that was going to happen. They booed the hell out of the Randy Orton Fiend match, which I can't imagine that they didn't think was going to happen. And the fans voiced their opinion finally. This is good for the WWE. They can't hide behind some guy in a production room hitting the cheer or boo button accordingly anymore. So this is awesome chants are real now. It's not a machine. It's really the fans thinking it's awesome. Makes a big difference. Makes a big difference to the product, and it makes a big difference to the wrestlers. So I'm going to go with the B-minus, Todd. I think that it was a good WrestleMania. I don't think it's going to go down as a great one.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a good WrestleMania, but wasn't great. And like you said, the match that match with Daniel Bryan, Edge, Daniel Bryan, and Roman Reigns was one of my favorite match in that whole entire pay per view.
Best match. Now, is it going to be a historical WrestleMania? Yeah, because the fans are back for the first time since COVID, so it's historical, Mike. But I just don't think it's one of the greats.
No, it's not one of the greatest. And look, we know we're gonna get those two women's matches. We know we're gonna get them again because they cannot see. I mean, you know that at some point Becky Lynch is coming back, right? You know, so
yeah, I think.
Right, and so you know they got to see that's the money match, right? So that's that, and we know that in their minds, what's her name proved that she can hold the championship and stay healthy, Sasha Banks. So they're gonna have her chase that championship for a while, probably. Now, how soon will she get it back? I don't know, but she's gonna chase it.
I would think so, because I don't know anybody else right now that's going to take on Bianca Belair. So what's your overall grade?
I'm gonna go a little bit better than you. I'm going to go with a B.
Okay. Yeah, again, there are moments on this. Vince McMahon standing on the stage with all the wrestlers, welcoming the fans back and admitting you're the most integral part of this show. That's a great WrestleMania moment. Great WrestleMania moment. Bianca Belair breaking down in tears in the ring before the match. That's a great WrestleMania moment. The triple threat match to end WrestleMania, that ended it with a bang. There's no question. Ended it with a bang. Even the fact that Mother Nature was not kind to night one kind of gave this a charm. But I just think the matches fell short. I don't know whether it was because the feud just didn't seem as intense or they weren't given enough time. I don't know. But it just seemed to fall a little short to me. Anyway, we'll see what happens tonight on Monday Night Raw, and we'll be back here tomorrow at noon to talk about it.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.